my mom can only find it in China. So she bought it for him, and it took a month to get through China.
Is it? Fusion, yeah.
And they sent him 2 copies of it.
So he just gave you one?
Yeah, he's like, if you have a way to play, I mean, I used to own it back in the day. I might still, for all I know. Probably not, though. But yeah, he's like, if you have a way to play it, I'm like, I stole my DS Lite, right? And he's like, yeah. So he just gave me the copy of it.
A DS Lite?
Yeah, the DS Lite has the...
Oh, I thought they phased that out for the DS Lites.
Nope, it was after that. Okay. Whatever the next... If they did a thinner version of the
DS Lite. So the DS Lite is the one that's where it sticks out. Are we recording this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I didn't want to waste all this nerd talk without...
No, I started
without recording it.
This is riveting, man. My Chinese...
Yeah, it was the DS... It was the one after that where they phased out the
because they
the
made
cartridge
it thinner,
slot.
Right?
They made it even thinner than the DS Lite.
Yeah, the DS Lite was pretty. It was a marvel of engineering at the time.
Was it the DSi? What was it? It was DSi, one where they really pushed the downloadable games rather than the cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess in addition to the cartridges,
the card cartridges.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not DS. Yeah.
Yeah, because though that is more of a cartridge. This drink is dangerous.
This is tasty.
I'm going to down this in like 3 sips. this is not good. I mean, it's great. This is not good.
this is a nice combo. We're doing another experiment tonight. Something we've never had before. I've never had either of these ingredients. I forget the name. It's a dry soda. They make a bunch of different dry soda flavors. You probably look it up pretty easily. But this is a dry blood orange soda mixed with... something from Honeyway Falls Distillery or Distilling.
Did you say Honeyway?
Honeyway, yeah.
Honeyway?
That's not how you pronounce it?
It's Honeyway.
What?
Honeyway.
Honeyway?
Honeyway.
Honeyway?
Honeyway, yeah. Honeyway Falls.
Funny. The way Falls. I hear it, it sounds like Honeyway when people say it. So that's how I...
Wait,
maybe
so
I,
when
maybe
I say...
Maybe I just mishear that.
So when I say Honeyway, you hear Honeyway?
Yeah, pretty close.
Whoa, that's
it's
weird.
Pretty close to that to me.
Whoa, Honeyway. Your eyebrows are doing the evil mad scientist thing. Where like half of them
that's
pointing
completely
straight
involuntary.
Up. It's awesome. It's just distracting. I keep looking at. They're like antenna. They're like
Honeyway. Is that how you?
It's always. I've never heard it any way other than Honeyway.
It sounds. It still sounds like you're saying Honeyway.
Honeyway. There's no W sound in that word at all. If you're still hearing it, you're cuckoo bananas.
Well, it sounds very close to that to me. I may be cuckoo bananas.
Well, what is the brand of gin?
It is Devil's Bathtub Gin, which I believe is named after a feature of Mendon Park.
The Devil's Bathtub.
Devil's Bathtub. There is a Devil's Bathtub in Mendon Park. Or is it Mendon Ponds Park? I don't know. It's the Mendon Park.
You're saying Mendon right. That's all I care about.
Okay, good. Good. Am I saying Devil's Bathtub correctly?
It's Devil's Bathtub.
Okay. Oh,
Devil's Bathtub. How does that sound to you?
Delicious.
Touché.
So yeah, it's got a lot of nice spice from the gin. And there's the citrus from the dry soda, but it's a dry citrus. It's not a lot of sweet to it at all. And it's so tasty. This is exactly what I like in a drink.
I've had almost half of it already.
You have. You're chugging this drink.
I can't help it. It's so delicious. Hi, we are Buddies in Space.
And spoiler warning, we are going to be discussing Star Wars The Force Awakens. Did I say that right? I think I did.
Honeyway Awakens.
Yes, the Honey Wakens.
The Honey Wakens. Ad nauseum, unfiltered, but we will just, we'll get to it.
We're giving you fair warning.
You've had fair warning if you have not seen Star Wars.
A chance. We're giving you lots of chance here to stop, to pause this, to put it aside until after you've seen it. If you haven't seen it, which
pause,
you probably should have.
Pause the boombox, run out to your local theater, see The Force Awakens, come back, and then listen to two grumpy old men talk about it.
And the two grumpy old men are...
M. Michael Carassi and...
S. Michael Smith. We are Buddies in Space, as I think we previously mentioned. And clink. There
clink.
We go. So, we saw this. You saw this for the second time.
Yes.
And I saw this for the first time just a few days ago.
Yes.
So it's fresh. Fresh in my mind.
You
memory.
Said that truly like an old, like, rusty alcoholic. Like your whole face, you're like fresh.
I say that because
the sting.
In a month or so, I'm probably going to have forgotten a lot of it because there weren't that many memorable scenes in it. Oh, there we go.
Oh, he said
there
it.
There we go. The first shot's fired across the bow.
So I am a huge Star Wars fan. Half of one of the walls in this room is taken up by Star Wars memorabilia.
It is.
I was surprised in my reaction the first time I saw it, just to give some background here.
You shouldn't have been, but you were.
But I've given Star Wars a pass my entire adult life, so I just assumed the hype was all the
a pass. You mean the second trilogy?
No, that came out wrong. I've given it a pass in terms of I've forgiven it all of its many sins and foibles.
Oh, you're talking about the original trilogy?
Yeah, no, okay. The prequels I just pretend don't exist. Honestly, there's very little, unless the Jar Jar theory is true, but I know it's not. Still could be.
Probably not. It's entirely possible.
It'd be awesome.
Probably not.
We'll get to that. So all of my fellow Star Wars fanboys, of which there are a number, raved about the movie. All of them told me, Mike, you got to see it. You're going to love it. I was trying to keep my expectations low. I was excited to see it. And I did see it right at the start of the holiday stress for Operation Perfect Christmas.
Okay.
I don't know if that had something to do with it.
You thought maybe it did, and that's why you chose to see it a second time.
See it a second time. But my first time seeing it was very similar to your first time seeing it. To the point where you brought up some of the same scenes in the car afterwards.
The thing is, I'm not a Star Wars fan boy like you are. I was going to say like some people in the room, but that would just be you.
Right. And my Star Wars action figures.
Yes.
Still in the box.
Your little chibi Boba Fett bobblehead, maybe?
Yeah, it kind of bobbles. All it doesn't bobble a lot. So, I had a less than favorable reaction to the movie.
Less than favorable.
Would be a nice way to put it.
Oh, okay.
The first time I saw it.
So it was a strong reaction.
It was a strong reaction, negative. A strongly dark side reaction to Star Wars Force Awakens. There were elements I loved.
It awakened something evil in you.
It awakened some anger, and that led to the dark side very quickly. I loved Rey. I loved Finn. I loved everything with Kylo Ren until he took his helmet off, which I did forgive on the second.
With his perfect hair underneath.
His perfect, unmatted hair that fit into an impossibly small helmet. And his giant ears. How do those ears fit in the helmet?
That must be one of the dark side abilities. The ability to have perfect hair.
Well, vanity is clearly a dark side for a power. So I enjoyed Poe. I had mixed feelings about, which I'll get into, but...
You really? Okay. He was just kind of there for me, I guess.
He had one of the best lines in the movie, though.
What was that?
Beginning, when they, like, he's put on his knees in front of Kylo Ren, and they just stare at each other, and he's like, so do you talk, or do I?
That was nice.
It was one of the funniest lines.
Okay.
And that I got me really excited. I'm like, oh, he's going to be great. And then after that, it's just downhill.
Yeah.
But
And then you think he's dead. But even then, you're like, did they really kill him? Because there's no body.
There's no body. And then it's a really spectacular way to destroy the TIE fighters. So, like, there's no way he was in there because you'd never get confirmation.
Yeah. It had the oh, is he dead or isn't he dead all written all over it. But when they came back, and maybe I'm jumping ahead. I am jumping
You're
ahead.
Jumping
Who cares?
Ahead.
Then when the reveal that he's not dead, which I kind of missed because that reveal is when I guess he's piloting...
The X-Wing.
An X-Wing.
Over the water.
Over the water. But he's got the helmet on and the goggle thing over his... Over the visor over his eyes. And you're like, is that Poe? I'm not... Because I wasn't sure. I was like, that kind of looks like Poe. But is he supposed to be dead? And I have a feeling that was supposed to be like a big moment, like, oh my gosh, it's Poe! But
it's kind of hard to tell.
I was like, is that him? I'm not sure. I think that diluted the moment for me.
Aw. You had a diluted moment? It happens in your
old age.
My issues with Poe were that they had a phenomenal actor in a character that was originally supposed to die in earlier versions of the script, which explains a lot. And then they turned that around and kept him. But he is Jesus in a cockpit. This is the only way I can describe it. I counted the second time I watched the movie. He destroys 9 TIE fighters and shoots on the ground 4 stormtroopers in 9 seconds.
Yes.
That's ridiculous. That is everything that is wrong with the movie is that is J.J. Abrams fucking this movie up.
Yeah, it's a bit of a stretch. I mean, on the one hand, it's a movie.
Right.
On the other hand, he's flying this vehicle going God knows how fast
through the atmosphere. And he's just like spinning turns and like, without a problem. And
yeah, and he's like picking off people who are standing next to the people they're holding prisoner.
Yep. Perfectly shooting them.
Right.
I'm not even counting those. I wasn't counting those stormtroopers, by the way. But I did notice that the second time. Like, did that X-Wing shoot them?
Yeah, the X-Wing shot.
How was that even? But so I've mentioned this to every fanboy. I've had conversations with at least three very good friends who are all really big Star Wars fans who all love the movie. And they all said the same thing to me. And they all said it half jokingly, which kind of led me to believe that I'm not wrong. And as soon as I pointed this out, they said, but he's the best resistance pilot. And I'm like, okay.
He's so, the best anything pilot. He's the best.
The way you're saying that clearly states that you're half mocking the fact that that's the only explanation they ever give for the fact that he is better than any character has ever been in any of the movies. It isn't possible to be that good. And that's not an issue I have with Star Wars. That is an issue with J.J. Abrams not having self-control. He has to, like, he has such a childlike sense of wonder and lens flare that he has to make everything, he has to take it just too far. For it to be plausible, even in the mythology of something like Star Wars, which is basically space magic.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So
Unless he's...
And force sensitive?
Yes.
I'm wondering, but even then, Anakin was never that good.
Right.
So, fie, I say. Fie. Like, cross my arm petulantly and pout.
The movie put me off a bit right from... pretty early on, because it was... It always felt like... J.J. Abrams was sitting next to me, poking me with his elbow, saying, did you see that? Did you see that? Uh-huh. It's the Millennium Falcon. Did you get that? Did you get that was? Surprise. Not really. Not really a surprise. No. His name's Ben, because they named him after Ben Kenobi. Get it?
If that's actually an experience you had, that would be super annoying. I would punch J.J. Abrams in the face.
I felt like that, though. I felt like he was like going through a whole bunch of check boxes, a checklist of everything that fans wanted, and he put it in. It's like, oh, there's all these characters you remember. Remember them? Remember the little droid that's rolling around on the floor that got shared by Chewbacca? There it is! All right.
It's an MSE6 mouse droid.
Right.
Everyone who played the Star Wars collectible card game knows that. It's a terrible card. I had like 80 of them. Super common. God. Yeah, it's funny you say that because I took that same tendency in a different annoyance. I felt like, and I kind of know this is true because he's basically said it, but I felt like my sentimentality was being forcibly manipulated.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
But it wasn't even fan service. It was literally taking all the major plot points of A New Hope and recycling them. So you have a force-sensitive youth on a desert planet who finds a droid and is thrust into adventure.
Yeah.
It ends with a trench run.
Yeah. And there's another Death Star...
Because we can't have enough Death Star. It's clearly a foolproof architectural wonder to make a giant globe with some kind of weak point. And there's a whole bunch of other things in between that are basically identical. But
that's 3 out of the 7 movies culminating in destroying the Death Star.
Right. So blowing up a giant ball is the finale of 3 movies in the trilogy, in the series.
Yes. Will it be an even bigger ball in the next movie?
God, I hope so.
I hope it's a sun next time.
It's the size of a galaxy.
Yeah.
I enjoyed, and it almost made sense to me that like characters like Ackbar and Neon Numb were back. Like, that was fun. They even had the original actors and Privateers back. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. Although I was glad they didn't have Ackbar say something equivalent to it. It's a trap. I would have been like, no, fucking stop that right now, asshole.
There were a plethora of cameos, almost all of which I missed or just went over my head. Because I watched Game of Thrones.
Or you couldn't even tell who they were.
Yeah. Like, that was Daniel Craig?
Yeah, Daniel Craig is a stormtrooper. Like, Simon Pegg as the Junker.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, there's no way to possibly tell that that was Simon Pegg.
I think, though, I don't think that stuff was even for the fans. I think it was because Simon Pegg was like, please, please, please. Please stop me being in the movie.
No, that was
Daniel Craig probably the
celebrity
same
service.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's just like why what's his face Samuel Jackson was Mace Windu in the prequels. Yeah. No, do you remember what he said? His exact quote was, "I want to be in a Star Wars movie so bad, I will play Lando Calrissian's uncle or Han Solo's slave. I don't care what you make me, just put me in the movie." And then he played this weird kind of wooden character who could have been badass and then just wasn't. But he had a purple lightsaber.
Yeah.
I really, really liked... So, okay, I want to talk about some backlash now. I feel like I'm going to end up defending the movie.
All right.
Which is weird because I've been just lambasting it for the last kind of week and a half.
Right. We're getting it out of your system. Getting all the negative.
Yeah.
Spewing it out.
Yes. This
out
is
that bile.
Force therapy.
Okay.
And going back to the light side. I did really like Daisy Ridley as the main character.
All right. And a lot of people didn't.
Well, those people are assholes.
Okay.
She did a fine job.
I thought she was fine.
She
for the ridiculousness they had her go through.
Well, okay, so I read an article today that she was a Mary Sue. Are you familiar with this term?
Yes.
So there's an argument being made. So if you're not an outright sexist asshole who's also saying who's also probably a white supremacist because it's the same people saying that the movie's anti-white and anti-male because they made the main character a woman. If you're just...
Even though the person who's the best at anything is, well, I guess Oscar Isaac is kind of ethnically ambiguous, would you say?
He's a white guy. He's pretty white looking. Okay, I guess I'm wrong there.
That's debatable, but go on.
Well, he's not John Boyega. How about that?
Okay, sure.
He's a lot less ambiguous than John Boyega. Or wait, he would be a lot more. Fuck it. I'm going to edit that out. That didn't make any sense. I have drunk a lot of gin in a very short period of time.
You have.
Actually, I don't feel drunk yet. I don't think she's a Mary Sue. The article kind of... So someone I actually really like, Max Landis, just went off on... I have to watch the video, but he just went off on... He did the Death and Return of Superman and Chronicle, and I'm a big fan of his.
Okay.
But he went off on stuff, and I guess he's super anti this movie, and he went on about how she's Mary Sue, and it's not true. She gets captured... She makes mistakes. She runs away from her destiny and responsibility.
She picks up things faster than she reasonably should have.
But that's the exact same problem as Oscar Isaac's being too good a pilot. That's...
Well, but the assumption is he's got however many years of practice doing these pilot-y things.
Okay, but you can leverage the exact same argument for young Anakin Skywalker, who takes down like an entire drone ship in his fighter jet. And he also builds C-3PO. At like the age of 10. I don't know if you remember the prequels, but they did the exact same thing.
That didn't make it good then.
Right, but I'm just saying, like, you can leverage the same complaint.
You're not holding up the prequels as some way of justifying this movie.
I'm saying a mistake is made repeatedly. Not. That's all
right.
I'm saying.
Yeah, okay.
I do think that Luke had much more of an arc than anyone else has. But again, that's over the course of three movies.
Yes.
And this is obviously more than at least the original trilogy. Force Awakens is meant to be part of it.
On the side of the defense, I will say that
You're on the side of the fence? You're siding with the fence?
Yes.
Okay.
The force fence.
I
will say that you could possibly justify Rey's sudden picking up of all things force-related by her... flash of insight from holding Luke Skywalker, from touching
it's called a force vision, yes.
Okay. And if you look at it that way, it might be more... They didn't really go into that in the movie.
Because they don't explain anything in the movie. Even things they should spend, like, a sentence more
they
on.
They over-explain a lot of things, but like there's a lot of stuff they don't explain. Like, every plot point is made crystal clear in this thing.
Yeah, but that's not over-explaining. No, over-explaining is...
characters are plot points.
Over-explaining is the prequels, where it was like 20 minutes of dialogue about the political situation, and then some action, and then 20 minutes of dialogue.
Right. Anyway, the Force vision, I think, might justify...
That might be the awakening that Snoke was talking about. He said there was an awakening. I agree with that. Did you just try to force move your glass, or did you just change your mind?
I just changed my mind.
Okay, because it really looks like you were like...
I'm drawn to this drink as if it were the dark side, even though it's quite clear. It's not dark at all. It's a dark bottle. Stormy. I don't know. Does that work?
It's the devil's bathtub.
It's the devil's bathtub.
If ever you're drinking the liquor that could be associated with the dark side. Did you pick up? So speaking of that, we're gonna just jump all over the place.
Sure.
So speaking of that,
leap.
That Force Vision.
Fling yourself into another issue.
I'm gonna fling myself another one of these drinks in a minute. I'm gonna have to pause. Did you pick up on the fact that they showed all of the Knights of Ren in that vision? Because I missed that the first time.
No, it went by pretty quickly.
It did.
It flashed things.
Yeah.
And as I understand, after reading about it later, they had voice clips of several different actors.
Incarnations of Obi-Wan.
Yes.
They took Alec Guinness saying the word afraid.
Yes.
Took out the and aid, and then just kept Rey. So so Obi-Wan as an old man and as a younger, because Ewan McGregor came back to record the rest of the line.
Right.
But he's like, Rey, this is the first step of your path, was both versions of both incarnations of Obi-Wan. It was interesting, but it's like, I wouldn't have picked up on that.
Yeah.
But they do show, there's a very quick snippet where you see Kylo Ren with his lightsaber out, and then you see a whole bunch of other guys around him. And I didn't pick up on the fact that they're all like the weird quasi-Sith guys that he is. Second time I watched it, I was like, wait, what's going on in that scene? And then I read about it, and it's, oh, those are the Knights of Ren.
Okay, so, I don't know what that is.
No one knows what that is.
Oh, they're, okay.
They're bad.
You're saying that like I should have known, and I know.
Well, Snoke says you are one of the Knights of Ren. He says that to him.
Oh.
And everyone was like, what the fuck does that mean? And it's like, oh, there are other dudes. They just don't flash their lightsabers all, you know, cross-hatching and whatnot. All
right.
It was interesting, because it means there's a lot of bad Force users. I'm excited for the Force-using potential of the next movie. And the director, because it's not J.J. Abrams. I'm very excited for Rian Johnson, because I feel like this will be Empire. It'll be darker. Having seen it twice, having not detested it the second time, I still can't love the movie. I've gotten to the point where, in order to make it work in my head, I've separated the movie from the Star Wars movie. The movie is not good at all. It is inconsistent. It's all over the place. It skips large amounts of plot-like sensibility. The characters are too good. It's just too... It's J.J. Abrams to a T.
It's entertaining.
It's very entertaining. It
goes quickly.
It's candy. It's fluff.
It is. And to that, I would say the original Star Wars film was also candy.
I was just going to say the same thing.
Oh.
A New Hope is not an amazing movie, and I really want to go back with a critical eye and watch it. I've never done that.
Certainly, Jedi is not much more than candy in so many ways.
You're just saying that because of the Ewoks.
Well, that was in my head, yes.
Visions
of Ewoks dancing in my head.
See, if for whatever reason I never had that problem with it, if you take the Ewoks out, I think it's a fairly complex movie, by comparison, anyway. There's a lot more going on, but Empire is where it's fucking at. Empire is dark, and the bad guys are winning, and some shit gets revealed, and it gets real, and some hands get chopped off again. I mean, there's a lot of shit going on.
And at the end of it, you're like, oh, yeah. This is awful.
I want that feeling. I want to feel awful, not feel that the movie was awful. That's the distinction I'm going for.
I see.
But, so I have this dichotomy now in my head.
Not the first movie, though. The first in the trilogy will not be like that.
But I want to go to Tosche Station to pick up some power converters. I'm not defending A New Hope. But, well, there's one thing I will say about it, and this will sound weird because I'm going to end up defending George Lucas, which is strange. But, so I've separated out a fairly mediocre, not great popcorn flick from a Star Wars movie that is meant to be viewed with the subsequent films. I mean, very clear. It's exciting. It made me fall in love with a couple of the new characters. I thought Kylo Ren was genuinely, you know, unnerving at times. Even his ship was kind of disturbing. I really liked that. So they did succeed, and they rebooted the franchise.
Right.
And again, all they had to do was top the prequels, which they did.
Which was not a tall order, really.
But I feel like this crazy support for the movie is because the prequels were so bad.
Yeah.
If there was nothing but the original trilogy, I bet you dollars to donuts the reaction would not be as strong.
I don't think you're right.
Really?
I think we would have a similar strong reaction, a strong favorable reaction to it. The problem is, you're too old for it now.
I am. That's true. And I want my son to get older so I can show him all these movies.
If you were between the ages of, say, 8 and 14, you would have loved this movie.
Fuck that. If I was all the way up to, like, 18.
Okay.
I was a late bloomer.
Sure.
Up with my criticism.
I'll go to 18.
But as a Star Wars movie, it's still fun, and I think it's not the worst Star Wars movie by a long shot.
No.
Right? It's kind of tied for third place right now. For me, it goes Empire, Return of the Jedi, and then A New Hope and this are kind of... They have so many foibles, but they're so important for what's going to come after them that I kind of hope...
Yeah.
And then the prequels. But what I have a real issue with, and this is where I think George Lucas did it right, is in the original movie, and I need to go back and watch this again, but I feel like there was a... George Lucas was not insane yet, right? He was on a creative verve with his buddies. He was a bit trailblazing. But it was his story, and so he was very careful at times to... I mean, okay, the binary sunset scene. Very famous scene in New Hope. Luke looks out wistfully, watches the twin sun setting. John Williams' score, the Force theme plays. It's a very good moment. If you don't remember, you're a heartless thug, because it's a pretty famous
movie. It's been a long time.
You need to watch the movie again, dude. Maybe we should watch it together and not talk at all. All right. And then talk about that.
I never really felt the need to watch it again.
Really?
Not for a long time.
Well, then you should watch it again.
I guess.
We should do it as a project.
Did you miss the part where I'm not a Star Wars fanboy?
So, you don't love... I can't understand what...
You're talking to the guy who had Battlestar Galactica bedsheets. Remember that.
That's true. You're too old for the original Star Wars. Actually, no, you're not.
I was right at the perfect age at the time.
You were hipster before it was cool.
Exactly.
But George Lucas took the time to let the movie breathe on occasion. I'm not saying the dialogue was great. I'm not saying the acting was great. But he took time to just let some moments sink in that J.J. Abrams never did. There was no binary sunset.
True. That was more generally true of older movies, though.
Purporting to be an older movie.
Really?
Yeah. Practical effects all over the place. Location shooting, not sound stages.
Maybe in superficial ways like that.
But
it had the shine and gloss and pacing of a very modern movie.
Not if you talk to George Lucas, but...
Well...
I understand what you're saying. My point is that J.J. Abrams put out a sloppy, lazy movie, and it was all very calculated laziness and sloppiness. It's very strange. I see that now. When they didn't take the time to explain stuff, I'm like, oh, they just wanted to keep it moving. But it's not a good movie for that. It's not a bad Star Wars movie for it either, which is weird. But George Lucas would at least take the time. Maybe it was the time that it was made. I don't know what. But there was no binary sunset scene. It lacked something that had a little bit more, gravitas, something. Putting Max von Sydow in there was a very poor substitute for Alec Guinness.
10 seconds.
Talk about throwaway use of, I don't know if he's going to be in Rogue One or something, because why would you put Max von fucking Sydow in a movie just to get chopped in half like really quickly by a lightsaber? And he didn't get to see it. Max von Sydow is going to get sliced up by a lightsaber. I want to fucking see that shit. But J.J. Abrams can't control himself. He can't. He doesn't know when to say, I have done exactly the right thing here. I can stop. Four TIE fighters and one stormtrooper not standing next to someone would have impressed the shit out of me. No joke. But Poe had to go double that, and then it just went too far, and it stops being impressive. It starts being hard to believe. And there were moment after moment. And then the Wrath Tars.
The what?
Those stupid tentacly rolling things.
Oh, yeah. And that was real.
It was J.J. Abrams. It just had J.J. Abrams' dick
wiped
all over
it. It was very forgettable to me. Honestly.
He said formidable. I was like, no. Really?
And one of those groups was like the cast from The Raid.
I know.
And they didn't
what
do
was
any.
Up with that? I looked at Erica when we watched it. I'm like, there's Mad Dog. He's going to go fucking crazy right now.
No.
And then nothing happens. No. They put him in The Raid too.
Sort of stand around and look menacing for 10 seconds.
I think the people who knew who he was just like, oh shit, he's going to fight a Wrath Tar. No, he did not. Did you see The Raid 2? He's in it, again, as a different character.
Yeah, I know. It was,
Who's even more kind of badass.
Which was very confusing in The Raid 2 for me.
I was
like,
totally
is
like,
this the
how
same?
Is he alive? We had to look it up.
I thought he died.
So confused by that.
I had the same reaction.
Yeah, because we had the same reaction. So that's my takeaway. I think that, right? So I'm going to tie this all together. So if you look at Looper, all right, I want him to draw a parallel here.
What? Movie Looper?
Ryan Johnson.
Did we just come around? Okay.
Who directed Looper.
You have thrown me for a loop here.
That was the sound of me slapping you. Ryan Johnson is directing the next movie.
Wait, there's another... Okay, this
Star
is...
Star Wars.
The
Star
director
Wars
of Looper is directing the next... Okay.
Looper and Brick, both great movies in different ways.
I haven't seen Brick.
Brick is phenomenal. It's an independent high school noir.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I just haven't...
Well, it's good. If you want to watch it, I'm sure Erica watching it because, she loves her JGL or whatever his name is.
Looper, I have mixed feelings about.
Okay, that's fair. But you can't deny that Looper took a little bit more time with the time travel stuff. And when it cut corners, it owned up to it. And it did it with, like, charisma. When Bruce Willis is like, don't try to figure it out.
Okay, yeah.
So I was thinking about that, and I'm like, J.J. Abrams didn't know how to do that, right? He was doing a lot with this movie, but he failed at that. So he couldn't magic it away. He was trying to inject something into it. It wasn't charming to me. But what I want is Rian Johnson doing something that has that whimsical thing, but also depth and dark. And I feel like that's going to happen. We have established these characters now. We don't need to do introductions, right? So we can delve into, theoretically, some complexity. Brick is a really great movie. And Looper, at least the characters had arcs. Can't deny that.
I'm really looking forward to seeing what else, in particular, John Boyega can put into that character. I think he's a really good actor.
Yeah.
I think I've only ever seen him in Attack the Block before this.
Me too.
But it was very impressive.
Very different character.
Yeah. Yeah. Completely different.
I don't remember him being funny really at all.
No.
And it took totally by surprise. It took me.
And I was initially put off in this movie by how, I'll say, hammy he was. But at the same time, after a while, I was like, that's the way this movie is.
Yep.
That's what he needs to be in this movie.
There's no subtlety in the movie.
No. And I can also justify it by, you know, the fact that he was apparently brought up from being a child as a stormtrooper. He's probably not too good at interacting with other people.
Right. Which is supposed to be the source of his interactions with Rey as being so comical. Yes.
Yeah. They didn't really get into that. I had to kind of, you know, make that. It would have been nice to see a little bit more of a nod to that.
Yeah. There actually was.
Oh, they edited it out?
No.
Or I just missed it?
No, neither. It's just you had to do research.
Okay. What?
Well, this is the part of my brain that gets, like, lit up by this kind of thing. So the last couple of days, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with that point. So have you heard about the internet fame that TR8R is getting? Traitor?
No.
So you remember the stormtrooper with the maglev-style weapon that repulsed the lightsaber?
Yeah, which I have to assume is a weapon made specifically for that purpose?
I think it did come
from... A Jedi hunting weapon?
I think it came from that, yeah.
Which I don't know why he just happened to have one of these on him.
It's a crowd control device? I don't know, I read about it a bit. It's like something that existed already in the Star Wars universe, I guess. But that... So right at the beginning... Remember how the one stormtrooper dies and then puts his bloody hand on
Finn's... Yes, how could I not remember that?
Because it's really obvious.
It's really obvious. And it's like, oh, he's the one with the bloody hand print on his face.
They really don't. They really make it easy to track him. Well, in a sea of stormtroopers, you got to do something, right? So apparently, that was Finn's first battle.
Right.
And I guess, and you never, there's no explanation for how that's even possible. But I guess, so reading into this a bit today on the internet, there was a 4-man squad of these kids that were kidnapped and raised by the First Order. And it was Finn, and it was that guy whose bloody hand was on his face.
So that was his buddy.
That was his buddy. And then the traitor guy, and one other person who you're not sure who it is, they were the 4-man squad. So, again, no time was spent. A sentence or two could have made this make a little bit more sense and have a little bit more import.
Maybe even a flashback. I don't know.
Anything. But this is my point, is that they just never paused. But that guy.
So there is a, dare I say, rich backstory to the character
that they're rolling out.
Was never manifested on screen.
Never.
All right.
So they're basically creating a new expanded universe, requiring you to do the work.
No, I'm not going to do the work. Well, you are.
I will. I want to cheat as much as possible. But so that guy. So when he said traitor, it read on screen as, oh, he's just a weirdly fanatical First Order soldier who's mad at Finn for being a traitor to the First Order.
Yeah.
But
I was like, okay.
Right.
Yes, sure.
And it's like, all right, this is just a one word lead up to a kind of interesting fight.
Yeah.
With someone who could stand up against a lightsaber. Whereas, in reality, there's like this big backstory where he was betrayed by him as like on a personal friend level.
Yeah, wow.
And suddenly that scene actually is a lot more interesting, but why didn't you just fucking show that?
Yeah.
So, again, shame on J.J. Abrams for not knowing to say, I have a really long movie as it is. I'm not going to pause and inject any kind of backstory explanation for anything. And then there's the Resistance / Republic bullshit.
Oh, I didn't even... I don't know. I guess I kind of glossed over that.
You have to mentally. It literally doesn't make sense. So there's
a civilized world with governance, which is the world that he blew up, I guess.
Worlds. It was the Hosnian system.
Yeah. I guess that was left of the empire, but not the fighting part of the empire. Senate. I don't know. These words were thrown around.
It's true. No, you're absolutely right.
And I just figured, okay, these are the guys who were trying to keep things together.
The Republic is what was there when the Empire... The Republic is what the Empire took down before the original trilogy.
Are you going to talk politics? Because that can be so
kind of
boring.
But only really quickly. Oh but yeah, God. And this is why they did this. They tried to make it, but I'm going to give you a like two-sentence way they could have fixed this. So the Republic is what ultimately the rebellion of the original trilogy was fighting to reinstate. Take the Empire down and get the Republic back.
Okay.
Because Republic, it's Greek. It sounds better.
Sure.
It's probably just as bad. In the
Empire bad, Republic good. Good. There we go. Done.
Done. That easy. But the Republic was secretly supporting the resistance.
Uh-huh.
But in the novelization, so in a script, in
so
a
what
part
were
the,
they resisting?
Well, here's the funny thing: who are the real rebels in this movie?
The First Order.
The First Order is the rebellion.
Yeah.
So the resistance is like the bounty hunter mercenary arm of the Republic, who's resisting the rebellion that is the First Order.
All right. This is making my head hurt.
Right. Exactly. So I guess, again, this is coming from the official novel of the movie, which pulls from a slightly older script, which is way better because they explain way more shit. Leia hates the Republic because they don't see eye to eye, to the point where she won't set foot on any of those planets because she's convinced they'll assassinate her. She tells that to Rey. She's like, that's why she sends Poe.
All right.
To meet Max, find out, side out. She's like, I can't really go on any missions because if I set foot on the Hosnian system, I'm just going to have an accident. Or there's going to be someone with a vendetta against my family that comes out of nowhere and kills me.
Right. Well, that's kind of interesting.
Right. There's
Whereas
a ton of those
the story
little things.
Was just, it was just, oh, here's the map, MacGuffin. There you go. Go chase it.
The map with the perfectly lined up. The BB-8, they lost me with the RTD.
The MacGuffin.
The MacGuffin. Nice. I like that. That should be a shirt. MacGuffin.
Go catch it. It's rolling away. It's rolling around. Go grab it.
Roll it.
10 stormtroopers to blow it up. Oh my God. Could the First Order be more screaming, we are Nazi fascists than, I mean.
That was
just so.
General Hux's costume they said, taken from the Nazi regimes.
Well, obviously.
And naval influences. So they combined the Navy with the Nazis. It's like. Only NA words were allowed to be used.
It made Pink Floyd's The Wall seem subtle.
Remember that scene in Star Wars when they shaved the guy's nipple off?
Yeah.
I liked the General Hux character was interesting.
He wasn't. Oh my God.
Young.
He was just a screaming fascist. It was like he was barely one dimensional.
You gotta give him two dimensions. Come on, man. You know, the stormtroopers for the First Order have a much higher hit rate than any stormtroopers in any previous movie.
They
actually hit what they're shooting at.
Well, maybe the weapons improved over 30 years. You would hope.
I would hope so. The technology didn't that much. They had the same targeting computer.
Oh my God. have we beat this horse enough?
I'm looking forward to the next one. It got better the second viewing. I was able to forgive things like Adam Driver's ridiculous hair. And I noticed a couple things the second time. Han Solo was Han Solo. I didn't really feel like Harrison Ford was channeling Han Solo very well. But in the second viewing, I said, no, there's enough of him there to convince me he's Han Solo.
Well, he was always pretty aloof, so that's just him.
But the facial expressions and some of the mannerisms were there. I've seen the movies enough times that I know the faces he makes. So I was like, oh, he does do that.
And that was probably that was possibly my favorite moment was when Finn's like, "What do you keep doing that with your face?"
Finn and Han had a really great back and forth.
Yeah,
and I
really
we
won't see that ever again.
Nope. Oh shit, Finn dies. What? I liked that Finn and Rey had chemistry.
Yeah,
It wasn't really explored, but I think it was actually okay. And I guess in the book, there's more of a love triangle thing again between her and Poe and Finn.
Her and Poe?
Yeah, because Poe's less of a throwaway character
in
the novelization. I'm going to read the novelization. I'm going on a work trip soon, so I'm going to read it and check it out and see.
You feel better? You got that all out of your system?
No, I just feel the same. I just need the next movie to come out in 2 years and then get the next piece and then enjoy it more. That's what I'm counting on. Man, I'm counting on that.
Oh, you're hoping.
I'm hoping and praying. We watched... I will switch gears. We watched the first episode of The Man in the High Castle.
The Man in the High Castle. Should I know what that is?
It's been getting some buzz.
I'm out of touch on a lot of this stuff.
It's an Amazon show.
All right.
Philip K. Dick novel.
Nah, I haven't seen any of the Amazon stuff.
We
have Prime. I mean, well, they've just been
advertising it. Like, I was shopping at Amazon so much for Operation Perfect Christmas, and they kept advertising it. But it's that alternate history thing where the Nazis win World War II.
Oh, okay.
And then
okay.
a film from our reality comes, like, gets released showing us winning the war.
Oh.
And so the characters...
Well, now you've ruined it for me.
That's in the fucking commercial, you dipshit.
It's in the
first 10 minutes of the show.
I haven't seen the commercials.
Well, you didn't give a shit until I said it. Now it's interesting, motherfucker. Yeah, so it's got, like, alternate history Nazi thing, which I always think is fun.
Okay.
Because you get to kill Nazis again. Like, the perfect bad guy.
Yeah.
And Rufus Sewell.
Done more seriously. Not as in Iron Sky.
No. This is Philip K. Dick done kind of right in that we watched the first episode and we were not expecting it to be as, like, dense and convoluted as it was. So Eric and I were watching it last night and I was, like, reading Star Wars trivia trying to get ready for today. And she was reading, I think, Sleepless in Seattle trivia.
What?
I don't know. We were just kind of, like, not paying attention. And then I was like, I can't. This is really complicated. I need to, like, sit and watch what the fuck is going on. I think it's a winner. It's got potential to be a winner. I don't know. I'll have to watch more episodes.
All right. Sounds interesting.
It's dense. It's complicated.
We finished the first season, which is not very long, of Into the Badlands, which is not dense.
It's like wushu. Not wushu.
Is it
wushu?
Is it?
Okay.
Yeah, kind of. It's more martial arts. It's not wushu. Wushu's more mystical stuff.
That's like flying man. Is that what it means?
Yeah, I think so. It goes a little bit in that direction, but just a bit.
Okay.
It's more
very well trained martial artists.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're all like soldiers in a post apocalyptic world that somehow conveniently lost all guns.
Yeah, I'm sure. But we still have internal combustion engines.
Wow. How do you... I can't. These are completely incompatible things. Guns and combustion engines.
Anyway, makes for some really good fight scenes. The fight choreography is just excellent. Better than anything that's probably ever been on TV.
TV,
before.
Yeah, I'm sure. I feel like that's what they were going for.
They are. They're trying to do martial arts Game of Thrones is what it feels like. And I'm not okay. somebody who's seen or read Game of Thrones, but that's still the vibe I pick up from it.
All right.
It's like you've got the seven different barons and they're all, you know, vying for more control and
that does sound like
trying to
the
stab
seven
each other in the back.
Game of Thrones, yeah.
Yeah, and the one guy's son is a he wants to be a leader, but he's crappy at it. He's trying to scheme, but he's not good at it.
Is anyone secretly gay?
Probably. I don't know.
They're really good at being secretly gay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, there is a lot of parallels with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. But yeah, it's good. And it's a short, the season is only 6 episodes long.
Oh, so. Wow. An hour long?
I think the first one's like an hour and a half.
Ugh.
Some of the characters are pretty weak, but it's entertaining. It's good. Assuming they get a second season, I would watch it.
Yeah, we were talking about checking.
I think we made it through the fourth episode of either the third or fourth episode of
Jeff Jones.
No.
Oh.
My gosh, I'm having a complete Mr. Robot. That.
Oh, cool. You guys are moving on with it.
Yeah. Nice. It got really messed up.
Yep.
In the last episode we watched, with the how do you pronounce his name? Tyrell.
I think it's Tyrell.
Going to some extreme measures to get to somebody's phone.
The phone, yeah. That's
He may have enjoyed it.
But then he comes home. Like, it's just, he's just so tired with his wife. Oh, my God. At first I was like, oh, she's Lady Macbeth. But it's like, no. She is fucking beyond that. She is so fucking scary. Oh, my God. She terrifies me.
I know. She's like Erica to the billionth power.
She's terrifying. Erica's not scary. My wife is sometimes a little intimidating.
Yeah.
But no, she, that character.
But mostly she's a sweetheart.
Right.
Erica.
To everyone but me. I love you. But yeah, that the wife character. Yeah, the show, it just keeps getting more and more fucked up. That's what I loved
about it. All right. The thing that's bothering me about it at this point is that I'm really getting annoyed by, especially the main character.
Okay.
His drug stuff is like, the bags under his eyes are getting worse, and like, oh my God, can you just snap out of it or something?
It's realistic.
It's realistic, but it's exasperating to me.
It's because you don't like drugs.
Maybe so. I don't know.
It's your problem, man. You're not cool.
Anyway.
It's a well done show.
I'm gonna watch more. I want to see where it's going, but I need some sort of, you know, give me a breath. You know, give me something. Okay, this is something good happening to somebody for a change. I would like that.
Stick with it.
All right.
Yeah, stick with it.
No, I'm not asking for spoilers.
I'm not. I'm literally just telling you, stick with the show.
Yeah, I know. I know why you like it so much now, because you associate so strongly with. Oh my God, with Mr. Robot.
Christian Slater?
Christian Slater's character.
What?
Yeah.
Because he's a...
He's you.
What? How do you get that?
Because he's so clever and so good at working people, so manipulative. He's completely you in your darkest. He is.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
I knew you would.
I don't think that's true.
Of course
true,
you were.
But I don't think that's what... I really like the main character. That's what drew me to that show. But I love Christian Slater in it.
Yeah, of course you do.
And Erica likes it too. And so, yeah, maybe she's attracted to that aspect of both Christian Slater and I. I just hadn't thought about that. Well, we'll talk about that again.
You should
again.
Watch it again and watch the Slater.
Well,
scene.
We're going to watch it again because there's a lot of shit that you won't know to look for until later. But we'll have to talk when you finish it. And if you stick with it a little bit longer, you're going to want to finish it. Trust me.
All right.
We started. So Erica and Colin both watched Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 2-3 or whatever, 23.
That's a sitcom, right?
It's a sitcom.
All right.
It's
which sets off alarm bells for me.
It's fucking hilarious.
All right.
It is fucking hilarious. So she and Colin were quoting
with
it.
Sitcoms, and
I know
this.
What? I don't care.
Okay.
You just told me about your shit. I'm going to tell you about my shit. So it's done by Nanchka, whatever, who does Fresh Off the Boat, which is definitely like a watered down. Like this is, and they curse and stuff in the show. So I don't know how they pulled that off. Or at least I think they curse. Maybe. I don't know. But the premise is kind of messed up right off the bat, and it's very funny. I think it was filmed in film, which I thought was very strange. I kept being like, this is on film. That's really odd.
As opposed to digital.
No, as opposed to, well, video.
Video.
Yeah, like sitcoms are generally video. But, so it's got Kristen Ritter as one of the main characters. Jessica Jones.
Okay.
And it's her, like, bitch side turned up to 50,000. Which is kind of the premise, that she's the bitch in Apartment 23 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But the runaway character in the show isn't her or the other girl. It's James Vanderbeek playing James Vanderbeek. Super douchebag. So he lives across the hall and he just plays himself. And he just sleeps with his fans and just uses the Dawson's Creek thing to get everything he wants.
Wow.
And he just relishes in making fun of himself. Like, you can tell he is having a fucking field day. But they cut
to... I assume they wrote the part specifically for...
It had to have been him. It was... You couldn't have done it without James Vanderbeek playing James Vanderbeek. You would have had to do a different show entirely. But there's a scene where, like, So Kristen Ritter is friends with him, and she's a psychopath. I mean, she is straight up psychotic, but it's funny. But she's friends with him, and they use the date, so she calls him at one point, and you just hear the Dawson's theme song. I don't want to wait for our lives to be. And she goes, you sleeping with a fan right now? And, he's laying on the bed and he looks up and there's like a fairly attractive girl holding a flannel shirt, just kind of looking at him expectantly. And he's like, yep. And she goes, Kristen Ritter goes, is she making you wear the flannel shirt yet? And he goes, we're negotiating. And you can tell it's just the thing he does over and over again. And he's just walking around and there's like really funny drug references.
So that reminds me a little bit of Neil Patrick Harris and the
Harold and Kumar
movies.
If you took that, but then made it a little more like a less that over the top, because, you know, he's playing it like he dies and comes back to life. Like, it's a little ridiculous. But if you toned that down and just made him like a really likable douchebag, that's the level that James Van Der Beek is playing the character at. But it's very funny. And I just couldn't get enough of like whatever the fuck he did. And he ends up like, and they do stingers, which I thought was great. So he keeps talking about how his main source of income now is this like Korean energy drink commercial. And they keep talking about it and you're like, what is this? And then they cut to it at the end. And it's like, it's ridiculous. But then at one point in the commercial, he just goes, Dawson is the moon. And then he just kind of stops and they keep filming. He's like, what am I doing here? So someone get my agent on the phone. What the hell am I doing in this commercial? And they just put in like, because it was in English, they didn't know what he said. So they put it all in the commercial. I really like Nanchka, whatever the hell her last name is. She's a very, she's edgy. She's like the new Diablo Cody.
Oh, jeez.
But she does sitcoms instead of, you know. Juno. Is that her first movie? I think Juno was her first movie.
Diablo. I don't know.
I think that's what made Diablo Cody famous.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, but yeah, don't.
Really?
No,
Juno got a lot of.
Yeah, no, it's a great movie, but you shouldn't see it.
But I shouldn't. I'm not.
Anyone with those evil eyebrows should not see the movie. You know what? I'm going to take a picture right now, and this is going to be the image of the podcast. Hold on a second.
Is this good? Is this a good angle?
That's a great angle.
All right. We're taking the picture.
Actually, no. Go up. I need to. I can't get that the eyebrows are.
You know what, that one raised a little bit?
I just don't. No. Yeah. Oh, my God. These eyebrows are fucking legendary. Look at that. Look at that shit.
Yeah.
That's a legendary eyebrow right there.
Yeah.
Should we talk about the pilot? Filming it all?
Is that already out? Do we put that up as a podcast?
The podcast, yes.
Okay.
The pilot
story. So you can hear it.
You can listen to about two-thirds of what? Two-thirds.
Okay. Some of the stuff was visual, and obviously we couldn't really put that.
Some of it I just straight up cut. Some of it I tried to rework, and it didn't work well, so I killed it.
I appreciate the effort you put into that.
It was more work than I thought it would be.
Yeah.
But I think the podcast, I don't know, I mean, people can feel free to disagree or listen to this and have listened to the last one, but I think the podcast was strong on its own. And, you know, the sketchy stuff we did, as in not duplicitous, but
standing up and
moving and reenacting things.
Which was only about like 20 seconds out of that.
You know,
I'm not missing a lot.
Every time I run now, I think, I wave to it, because I'm still doing it. Whatever this thing is, I'm now hooked on doing it. Well, I'm not really running anymore now. It's like 17 degrees out. But
yeah, today,
last week when I was running, I was waving, and I was like, God damn it. Now I just think about the podcast or the filming when I fucking wave to cars.
That's what happens when you bring your life into the podcast.
Oh, man, I got too real.
The podcast gets brought into your life.
You can't look into the pilot. Pilot looks back. So, yeah, Zach Headshot Welch has been on holiday in California with his girlfriend. So
that's fine.
He hasn't gotten to it yet.
Hope they're having a good time.
Yeah, they were at the San Diego Zoo. They went ice skating on a beach.
What?
Yeah, that's what he said.
Wait, what? Ice skating on a beach?
That's literally, he showed a picture. It was too dark. I couldn't see what it was. And I just said ice skating on the beach.
Okay.
The man lives an exciting life.
I'm not sure about how that practically works.
I assume it's an ice rink on sand. Or the ocean froze. That seems about as likely as making a Starkiller base. But yeah, the filming was fun.
Yeah.
Right? We didn't really know what to expect.
Had a fun crew.
The crew was a good time. I'm friends with Biz on Facebook.
You are? That's cool.
Yeah, he found me.
He made me feel so old.
Oh my God, he made me feel old. But that was impossible. His mother was like 13 when she had him. Right? Didn't we do the math and we realized that?
It was along those lines. I don't think it was 13.
I think it was 15. It was 15.
It was
It made us all feel really uncomfortable for a moment.
It just made me feel old.
Because he's 25. No, he was 25 and she was turning 41.
His parents were younger than me, and he has a child.
Yeah.
That's all I needed. I tapped out on that. Like, screw this.
But he's on his second kid, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, that was insane.
Not making me feel any younger.
Mike with the mics.
Mike brought mics for the mics.
For the mics. They weren't kidding, by the way, about your audio levels.
Oh. Well, did I blow it out?
Oh, my God. I literally went through about half of your speech. A third of the time you were talking, I had to lower the gain. I had to de-amplify it.
Sorry. I have to learn more.
No. What you need to do.
Keep things on a certain level.
You need to start out that way. That's okay. The problem. Because
start out crazy.
You start out as Mike.
Yeah. And then I transform.
And they adjust the levels based on that. That's what they did. That's what they said.
That was their mistake.
And then you're like, crazy smart.
It's a learning process.
So next time they're going to be like, we're just going to jack it to 11 with you. And then you'll sound like normal. But yeah, there are times where I kept playing with it because it would go like us talking normally. And then we'd get really quiet because I had to tone it down so much. And I was like, no, that sounds silly. So I just kept playing with the level to get it so you weren't blowing out the audio, but you weren't whispering. It was strange.
So that's going on.
Should be up this month. Yeah. I think it'll be up this month. And then we'll see. I expect a six-figure salary and a gold-plated rocket car on HBO.
Any day now.
I think it's inevitable, really.
Nice.
Zach's got big plans for us. I'm not sure.
He's an evil genius.
But I feel like he's underestimating the sheer laziness of this enterprise for us. I kind of feel like Flight of the Conchords. Like, if this somehow leads to success, we're both going to be like, there's a famous story with Flight of the Conchords, the New Zealand comedy show, where they found out that they got the show, and they ended up being a really big success. But they got the call, like, from their agent or whatever, and they were like, we're out at lunch. Can we call you back? Like, they completely unimpressed with it. And it's just how they are. But yeah, I don't know. It would be really funny if I ended up doing something actory related.
Bah. Good luck to us. I'm not holding my breath.
I actually don't want us to make it big. I kind of don't want this to be a big deal.
So don't tell anybody about this.
If it turns out to be amazing, just don't watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just stop. The better it is, the less you should watch it.
Exactly.
It's kind of like the first scene of Black Mirror when... That's a good one. We need to watch more of that. It's so hard to watch, though. It's so hard to watch. Oh, I started playing Fallout 4.
Oh, I thought you've had that for a while. I'm looking at it right now.
I was playing StarCraft, and that took me a little while.
Ah. Are you so addicted that your wife is about to leave you?
I understand why that guy sued now.
Uh-oh.
So I'm playing it, and the first couple hours, I'm like, why the fuck would any... This isn't even that good a game. Like, they took my son. That's literally the only reason I'm playing this game is because it's a father whose son gets kidnapped and his wife gets murdered. I'm like, okay. I somehow appreciate that. That's about it. It's the only connection I have to this game. And then I realized that there's a town building aspect. You ever played Dark Cloud on PS2? PS2.
No.
It was a good game.
But they had a couple of sequels, right?
Maybe. I never played them.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of a different game.
I think you are.
But what's the one where you can like get married and have...
Fable?
Fable, that's what I was thinking of.
Yep. Yeah, it's Peter Molyneux. I'm making a jerking off motion right now. I'm splooging all over my own face because I'm amazing Peter Molyneux.
I don't know if that was sarcastic or not.
It was kind of truthful. I don't know, I just wanted to splooge on Peter Molyneux. I'm splooging on my face, what? But the thing about Dark Cloud was you could like build, you were fixing the world and so you had his magic amulet. Don't think about it. But you would realign the towns how you wanted, so you kind of... You know, do some... It was beyond base building, right?
All right.
It was really fun. So this takes that to, like, the upteenth degree. So not only can you rebuild the towns as your settlements as you do them, you can go through the town and scrap everything you see. You're like, I really want a new house. I'm going to scrap that copse of trees and this street light. And it tells you exactly what resources you're getting from each thing. So you go out with a laundry list and you're like, scrap, 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 scrap. Ding, got what I need. And you go build it. But that's not... I'm only getting started.
Uh-oh.
So, Mike, I spent 20 minutes going through the ArcJet power plant collecting desk fans because I needed fucking screws. And the only way to get the goddamn screws at that point was to get the fucking fans. It's bad. Not only that.
So it's an excellent scavenging simulator.
It is a ridiculous scavenging simulator, but then it turns into fucking this old house. Because you can build like individual light bulb sockets and then you have to wire them to a fucking generator.
This sounds like work now.
It sounds like work, but it is tremendously addicting because you're trying to keep everyone in the settlement happy. So you get enough plants. You got to tell them to harvest the plants. You got to set up sentry posts and get them there. You got to get turrets and power.
All right, you're making it sound like more work now.
It's so addicting. I stopped myself and I was like, I built this house. I am not putting lights in it. That is ridiculous.
You don't want to put lights in your house?
I want to put lights in it. I want to make it my house.
But what, you can't afford to?
No, I'm just not going to do it because it's a ridiculous waste of my time. I'm going to end up doing it. I know I'm going to do it at some point.
Can you go shopping for lights? I mean, are there different lights that you... Have you picked out the lights you
There's
want?
A lot of different beds. You can cycle through a lot of... And they all use the same resources, which is nice. You can modify almost every weapon you find. And you can swap parts. On
okay,
modify
my weapon sounds cool.
You can modify armor.
Picking out a different bed for your virtual house.
It's the Barbie Dreamhouse syndrome. All right, I get it. But you can modify your armor. You can modify your weapons. You can build the town up from nothing if you want. You can modify chemical stimulants, so you can make drugs. Basically, you can cook meat that you find into different types of food. It's fucking ridiculous. And I keep playing it. I'm like, oh my god, I just want to do one thing, and then I end up doing like 15 things.
Aw.
I'm enjoying it. But
it
like
sounds
the first...
like you feel trapped, though.
Not yet. I will get... So, inevitably, The Witcher 3 is why it's probably the best game I've ever played. It took me an incredibly long time to get to the point where I'm like, okay, let me just finish the game.
All right. So, I run into problems with games like this.
Well, this would do this to you, too. It has the mission... I'm stacking up missions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Games where you stack up missions, it does get to me at a point. I think this is why I never really got very far in Final Fantasy VIII. Is because the card thing just, like, got overwhelming to me. I'm like, okay, I have to go around and collect cards now.
Witcher 3 has that, but I never really did it, and you can skip it. Final Fantasy VIII was just a weak game.
Yeah, that was probably another reason.
Did you read the theory that he's actually dead the whole time?
No, I didn't get very far into.
No, I only read this like last year, but I guess I remember thinking like this game doesn't make a lot of sense because he gets killed and then he's magically better, but then I guess if you go back, it's one of those sort of usual suspects moments where he's actually just dying slowly the entire game.
Ooh.
Like he gets impaled and then the rest of the game doesn't make any sense.
Huh.
And I was like, holy shit. I don't remember it very well, but that does kind of make sense because this game really didn't make any sense to me. I don't know. But
maybe I should revisit that.
No. Nope. There's way better. Play Witcher 3, for God's sakes. If you're going to play something.
What about Fable? Should I play Fable? No?
No. What a pretentious, boring game that is.
Okay, because I wasn't sure which direction you were going with that.
I'm going
with
Witcher 3. Tried and true, dog.
Didn't I have to play the other Witchers?
No, they really do a good job of filling in. Although, you may want to borrow that book if you're going to play Witcher 3.
Yeah, what am I going to play it on?
Get a console. It's cheaper than upgrading your shit-ass computer enough to play it. Oh, snap.
That's okay. That's legit. That's a legit criticism. I was saying, why can't I?
Maybe your tablet's strong enough to play it. You got a shield
tablet.
That's
a K1. I've got the K1.
As long as it ain't KY.
You're
doing something wrong if that's the case.
No, it's not. It's the K1 tablet, which I think is like the most powerful tablet you can get right now.
I bet you could run it super stripped down. I bet you could run Witcher 3. That would be hilarious. I wonder how it compares to the PS4 in terms of specs.
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know if I said this. I didn't get the Xbox One.
You did.
I did?
You did not get it.
Right. I didn't mention it on a podcast.
No, I think you did.
Well, we talked about me getting it, and then we filmed the pilot. I didn't mention it in the pilot.
No, you did. You mentioned it.
I did?
Yeah. And I congratulated you on reversing your purchase.
Oh, I didn't, though. It just Best Buy did it for me.
Well, I know. Okay. I was trying to give you the credit, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. Best Buy credited my credit card.
Right. And you just let it go.
I wrote a nasty email.
What? I think they did you a favor, man. They did you a solid.
They did, but... This is why
you
they're dying.
Be more appreciative.
This is why, as a company, they're going under because their customer service is so shitty. They can't even email you and be like, "Sorry, bro, we had to cancel your order."
Well, they gave you customer service you didn't even realize you needed.
I didn't email them upset about the cancellation of the order. I was totally cool with that. I was happy about it. I was really pissed off that I'd made other purchases based on the fact that they never told me that they had canceled my order. That's fucking insane to me. I was literally just waiting for it to show up in the mail, being like, oh, I didn't get a tracking yet, but, well, they're really bad about emails, so I guess. Like, that is, you deserve to go out of business in this day and age if you can't get your fucking email notifications down. I'm sorry. I firmly believe that. I know Black Friday is madness. I don't blame them for canceling the order. They oversold it. I get it.
Yeah.
But
that's a legit criticism.
You can't tell me that you fucked up and you didn't even do it until 5 days later. It wasn't like they canceled it that day either. So that's a Better Business Bureau complaint right there.
All right. I'll go along with that.
All right. You like my socks? Mass Effect. I got the
Paragon,
Renegade.
I don't recognize those things.
Well, they're red and blue. They don't match.
Okay.
Which my wife That's is cool. extremely upset about.
I'm sure she is. But it bothers me a little bit.
But it's the good guy and the bad guy.
All right.
The only defense I could give her was, I didn't leave the house with him. And she goes, well, good. Where are your slippers?
I keep forgetting to bring the slippers over here. And it's really cold outside. Yeah. I couldn't just wear the slippers outside.
You didn't wear them out last time.
I think I did.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it wasn't wet out. It was dry. It
wasn't sweat out.
It wasn't wet. It was not wet outside.
Not wet outside. What did you do to die today? In a minute or two to chew a thing distinctly hard to say, but harder still to do. For there'll be to tattoo at 20 to 2, a rat to tat to tat to 2, and the dragon will come when he hears the drum at a minute or two to two today. At a minute or two to two. First episode of Colbert Report, he and Stone Phillips had a What Did You Do to Die Today off. They did their best newscaster voices.
Who won?
I think Stone Phillips. He had a better voice.
Wow.
But I think he also did the glasses thing, too, where he took the glasses. So he was like, at a minute or two to two today, at a minute or two to two. He did a really good job with it.
Mike here just took his glasses off and as you said that.
Yeah, I'm not doing it justice. Listen, eyebrows. We are buddies in space. You are...
S. Michael Smith, and you are...
M. Michael Carassi.
Buddies in Space is a Stolen Dress Entertainment production. Visit stolendress.com to check out other Stolen Dress podcasts, blogs, tweets, videos, and books. And you know what the hell? Go see Star Wars.
See Star Wars, because if you don't...
if you're at this point in the podcast...
Yeah,
and you haven't seen it.
Shame on you.
What is wrong with you?
Actually,
maybe
no.
You just don't care.
We save them a lot of money. We basically outlined the whole movie. Oh, and Luke Skywalker comes back at the end.
Yeah, all right. that was my other thought after watching the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I thought if I had gone to the Wikipedia page.
Oh my God, you and Wikipedia.
Read the plot synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
Just going through the plot points. I don't know that I would have wanted to see the movie.
I think that's fair.
I've said, these are all...
old plot points.
Yes. Yeah. I've seen all of these before. There's nothing original here. I'm done. I'm up to speed. I know what happens. I'm covered.
I don't like that you do that. I got to tell you. I feel like you miss out on shit because you do that.
Maybe. But I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I can't. There's nothing to say to that. I can't argue that point.
I'll do that to movies that I know I'm not going to see. Or movies that I don't think I'm going to see and that I know my wife won't want to see.
So you're guaranteed to never see them?
Yeah. I'm like, I'm never really going to care about watching The Hunger Games. So I'll just see what happened to it. And that really bothers some people that I do this.
It bothers me. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Because you never know when you're going to want to be like, you're going to sit down and turn on the TV and be like, oh, this looks good. I'm going to watch this. Oh, this is that movie. And I don't know what's going to happen because I didn't read the goddamn Wikipedia page.
Nah.
But did you read that? But you read the Hunger Games books, though, the review, right? Or the plot
synopsis?
No,
just for the movies. And I might have looked at the things for the books.
No, because we had to just, because that really pissed me off. Because the books are way better than the movies. And I was like, dude, you are really not qualified to judge the books based on the Wikipedia article. That's what really annoyed me. I remember that.
But I don't even think I'm judging the books. I just have no interest in reading them.
Yeah, but then you were making fun of him, and I'm like, but your criticisms aren't valid because like you're getting someone else's opinion on it. Like it's not. I'm not saying you're like that Fox News commentator who was accusing Star Wars of being sexist or whatever and didn't see the movie. That's ridiculous. But
I also read Wikipedia stuff for the Maze Runner books because I know I'm not going to read those.
But why do you even give a shit, though? I mean, I just don't care.
I'm just curious. If you're curious, read the book. No.
So you'll read a Wikipedia article, which gives you literally none of the joy of reading a story.
But I know what the story is. I know what the mysteries are.
Mike, you know what the story is here. You haven't felt the story here. I really wish we were filming this right now.
But I don't. I don't want to.
Because you have no heart. Bastard.
No. And that's because so many of these stories are built on a mystery.
Okay.
Especially the Maze Runners.
Yeah. Why are we here?
Yes. Yeah. Why are we here? Ooh, it's a big mystery. And you know what? I'm kind of interested in that. I don't care to go through the books or the movies.
Oh, my God.
But yeah, I'm curious about what the mystery is. What's the big answer? And inevitably, when I do look up the Wikipedia entries, I'm like, oh, that's dumb.
Because it's
just
never
saved me a bunch of time.
Right, but here's my point. It's never as dumb if you've read the book. Because you're getting something else out of the book. Did you used to ruin Christmas presents for yourself as a kid?
That's not the same thing.
No, but I'm curious. Did you? Because I feel like you... Because I used to do... I still do that.
I would look around.
Okay, so you have that...
My parents got good at hiding things, but I would look a little bit.
All right, so yeah, okay.
What kid doesn't?
No. There's kids who do it a little bit, and then there's kids who like go all out trying to figure out what their presents are.
I don't think I went all out.
I bet you did.
No.
Yep. I bet you knew about your Battlestar bedsheets, toys... Long before you got them. I don't know. I am one of the people who is incredibly bothered by that. For movie plots, that's fine. But for books, I think that's bananas. This episode was brought to you by Devil's Bathtub Gin from Honeywa.
Honeywa.
It's not hard to say.
Honeywa.
Annoyed. And also dry soda.
Are you annoyed
soda.
By my pronunciation?
I'm annoyed by your Wikipedia tendencies. And dry blood orange soda, which I'm sure not many people make that. Can I have another one of these before you leave? Eat my-